we go. You hear songs about joy and hope and all that kind of stuff all through Christmas season, and it's really hard to understand the whys sometimes. Why does that have to be such a significant theme? Why is it something that people are so interested in? And as I was beginning to do some look, I found something really interesting, and I just have to share with you. I know it's trivial and silly, but that's okay because I'm trivial and silly sometimes. Okay. I don't know if anybody knows what xanthophobia is. Anybody, I guess, xanthophobia? Fear of the color yellow? There are actually people with the diagnosed phobia fearful of yellow. Blows my mind. How can you be afraid of a color? But it's true. If you're a xanthophobe today, I apologize for mocking you openly. But I mock you openly, okay? Turophobia is a fear of cheese. I have no fear of cheese. I have fear of what cheese does to Nathan Betts, but I have no fear of cheese on itself. I'm just saying. Now, this is interesting. I actually know somebody that is kind of fearful of this. Somnophobia is fear of falling asleep. There are actually people that have that fear. A lot of people have this one, chlorophobia, fear of clowns. I have a buddy of mine. In fact, he was out at the mall yesterday doing some stuff, and he's clown and juggler and that kind of stuff. And he jokes, he says he's the only 350-pound clown that rides a 6-foot unicycle. He says it's the only reason to ever be fearful of a clown is if you're underneath a 350-pound clown riding a unicycle. I love this one, oomphalophobia. Oomphalophobia. Sounds like Oompa Loompas from Willy Wonka. Oomphalophobia is fear of the navel. Fear of the navel, the belly button, because it's going to come get you in the middle of the night, I'm fairly certain. Now, I thought this one was a joke at first, especially when you hear the name of it. I thought, this can't be right. This is so good. Nomophobia. Nomophobia. Fear of not having your phone, specifically your wireless phone. There are people with diagnosed phobia. They are fearful of not having a cell phone. Ombrophobia is fear of rain. Pogonophobia. Pogonophobia. Pogonophobes are going to be they're terrified around John Thill. Because a pogonophobe is somebody who is fearful of beards. Doesn't make any mention of mustaches, but beards apparently are a huge one. Triskaidekaphobia is just the funnest one to say. Triskaidekaphobia is the fear of the number 13. That number is just somehow going to take you out and do whatever. And I was just kind of looking at some of these the other day, and it was really kind of funny with some of them. And there's an interesting statistic, and it says that in this day and age, we have people who have more diagnosed phobias than at any point in the history of mankind. And that's per capita, so it's not just the fact that we have more people and that kind of thing. And there are some people that will say, well, that's simply because we have a greater willingness to diagnose the phobias. There are other people that say, no, we're actually, as a group of people, as humanity, as culture, all of that kind of thing, that we are actually becoming more fearful as a people. And if you don't think that's true, if you're connected at all in social media at all, you know, I don't care if it's Facebook, Twitter, whatever, all it takes is one person starting to, you know, to say something. Oh, you won't believe, you know, if there's this new stuff in Frosted Flakes, and if you eat it, it'll stunt the growth of your kids. Yes, it's called sugar. It's been there from the beginning. You know, that's how it works. But they'll do something like that, and immediately 1,000 people will post it on their page as if it were absolute truth. And the reason they do that is because many people are fearful. And so when you're naturally fearful and you hear about something, you immediately want to continue it and use it. Why in the world would I be talking about fear when so many songs about Christmas are about hope and joy and peace and all that kind of stuff? Well, the reason I want to talk about fear today is because I think God talks about it a lot. And especially whenever he's talking to us, whenever he's talking to his creation, he talks repeatedly about this idea of fear. If you'll turn with me to the book of Luke I know we were there last week. We're going to be there again this week. And you're going to need to turn me down or do something because I'm ringing really bad up here, guys. I'm in front of these speakers in a different way. If you go to Luke chapter 1, we kind of begin this whole Christmas story in an interesting way because it starts out with this idea of what was to come and what was to be. And then we hear about this girl, this girl Mary. And way down towards the end of chapter 1 in Luke, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, 'Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary.'" Now, I've joked a lot. Whenever I talk about angels showing up, people are all automatically afraid, and the angels always tell them, "Don't be afraid." Well, why? I mean, every book that we go to, if you look at every single account, go back to Matthew. In the beginning of Matthew, there's a story of when the angel came to Joseph. And Joseph he loved Mary so much, but yet obviously if she was pregnant and it wasn't by him, then it had to be in his eyes because she was unfaithful to him. And so instead of publicly disgracing her, he decided to privately divorce her and just put her away because he cared about her, didn't want to see her hurt and harmed and all that kind of thing. So an angel shows up to him, and the first thing the angel says to him is, "Don't be afraid." We go on and in the Christmas story in Luke 2 that we talked about last week. Remember when Linus was telling the story and Linus had the blanket and the angel says to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid." And why is that always come up whenever God is speaking to his people? Well, here's what I think I've begun to figure out. Not positive, but I'm working my way there as I'm taking steps in my journey. We are, through our sin nature, naturally fearful people. Now, it's not the way we were originally created. When God formed humanity, we were created to walk in connection with God and to trust in him. And so fear was not even something that was a part of the picture. But when the sin nature entered us, there became this thing that took hold of us called fear. And fear has become so dominant in our nature. Fear has become so dominant in our culture. Fear has become so dominant in our families, in our schools, and in our workplaces, in every place that we're at. It has become so prevalent that it has gotten to the point where most decisions that we make in life are made at least in part because of fear. "Oh no, that's not right. What are you talking about?" Real simple. You're trying to make a decision about whether or not to buy a house. One of the things that immediately comes is, "Well, what if we're not able to pay that? What if the furnace goes out? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if the other thing happens?" And immediately, we don't think of it as fear, but that's what it is. It's being fearful of what might happen. And so we make a decision. And I'm not even saying it's wrong to use those as reasonings for making a decision, but it has become so prevalent that many times we don't even realize it. I've seen people make decisions on who they're going to be friends with based on fear. "Well, you know, if I do something with them, then this other group that I really want to be a part of, they don't like them at all. And so I'm fearful if I do something with them, that then these people won't like me." And it becomes this, you know, weird kind of junior high scenario all over again, no matter what age we are. And it's a decision based in fear. We see people make financial decisions based on fear. We see people make school decisions based on fear. Sometimes people, instead of following their passion, they make a decision based on what's going to bring home a paycheck. And trust me, a paycheck's a good thing. We like having paychecks come home, but sometimes those decisions are made out of fear, not out of trust and joy, and definitely not out of this word called hope. We began talking last week about this idea of things colliding, these combinations that don't seem like they go together. And last week we talked about how the holy The God who formed us, the God who spoke us into existence, chose to become humble and allow himself to be born as a tiny, helpless baby in our midst. And so this collision of the holy and the humble is what makes it possible for us to know a real relationship with God. But I'd like to talk today for just a few minutes about this collision of fear and hope. What is fear? And what does it truly mean to know hope? Fear is actually pretty easy to understand, even though it takes lots of different forms. And here's how it's easy to understand. Fear is anything that creeps into our life that causes us pause for doing what God wants us to do in our life. Fear is anything that enters our life that causes us pause in following through or doing what God wants us to do with our life. And many times they're very good things. Our fears are wrapped up around great stuff. I always love it when there's a couple that has a baby, you know, the first baby. I mean, for those of us that have kids, if we're honest about it, we parented our first child out of fear. Fear that they would get hurt. Fear that they would get burned. Fear that they'd run out into the street. Fear that they'd do whatever. And so many things that we did. I mean, you see a mom, you know, with their first child and the pacifier falls out of the mouth and falls onto the floor at the restaurant. And, you know, let's pack up and go home because we got to sterilize this thing. You know, or they're asking if they can go back in the kitchen and get some boiling water and get that thing okay and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they flip out. By your second or third kid, you reach up, you brush it off and stick it back in. Because the fear is not there in the same kind of way that it was at the beginning. You understand that they're able to overcome things and it not absolutely destroy them. But at the beginning, there's this idea of fear. It's really neat. Most of our college students are gone for the Christmas break. But I love watching incoming freshmen every year. And it's something I never knew before I came here and really got this involved in collegiate ministry and that kind of stuff. But man, I love watching the incoming freshmen because they are deer in the headlights. And those of you who have been here with us, you've seen them come in those first couple weeks of school. And they're all excited in some ways, but man, are they terrified. And you especially know when their first test is coming up. You know, and they're getting ready for that first test. And you'll see, I mean, they are sweating buckets there at the library till 1 o'clock in the morning. They're doing all this stuff, getting ready. I mean, they are fearful of what's going to happen on that test. By the end of the semester, it's finals and they're playing in the rec center instead of studying. Because there's not that same sense of fear that there was at the beginning. I'm not necessarily saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's the reality of what we see. So people make those decisions at work, you know. First time you got a big evaluation at work and you're doing everything and crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's and everything. And then later on, the fearfulness isn't there. It doesn't mean you don't do as good a job, but you're not as fearful of what might happen. And many of us allow those fears of our life to give us pause in following through with the things that God wants us to do. Now, they don't necessarily stop us from doing what we want to do. But there's this idea that all of a sudden things are on pause while we try to figure stuff out. Last night we were hanging out at the house and we were watching a show on Netflix because I love anything that doesn't have commercials. And so we're watching this show on Netflix and all of a sudden this dreaded bar came up at the bottom and it said rebuffering. As far as I'm concerned, rebuffering is a cuss word, okay? So you know, all of a sudden you're paused in the middle of your show and it's got to go through and it's got to rebuffer. It's got to reload the show onto the hard drive before it begins to play again and do that kind of stuff. And we would sit there and it was frustrating because we wanted to get on with the show. But instead it was paused. And so there was this moment in life, I mean, it's not like we were doing something truly productive, okay? I'm honest enough to tell you, we were wasting time watching the show, okay? But even with that, there's 3 or 4 minutes while that thing was reloading where we accomplished nothing. I mean, we just wasted time. And for many of us in our spiritual walk, for many of us in the steps of faith that God is calling us to take, we get put on pause because of fear. And what happens is for a period of time, nothing gets accomplished. We don't move where he wants us to go. So instead of just saying no to God, what we say is, well, we got to wait till we're really sure. We got to wait till we really know. And what if that would have happened to Mary? What if the angel would have come to Mary, said, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be so great. Mary goes, hold up. I got to go talk to my mom about this because I am not sure how she is going to appreciate me telling everybody that I'm a teenage pregnant girl. I'm not sure this is a good thing. Hey, can you stop for a second? Can you let me have a conversation with my dad and see just how ticked he's going to be? Is he really going to disown me? Is he not? By the way, there's this guy named Joseph. In case you weren't aware of it, I'm supposed to marry him. I'm really not sure how he's going to handle this news. Hey, I'm not saying no to God, but will you just hold up until I've had some of these conversations? What if Joseph would have done it? What if Joseph would have had this fearfulness in him and said, okay, well, I know what you're telling me, but man, I've never heard of that before. I mean, as far as I was concerned, when my dad sat me down a long time ago and had this whole, you know, birds and bees conversations with me, when a girl ends up pregnant, that's not how it happens. And so I don't have a frame of reference for that. And so, you know, can you let me go talk to some people and see, is this really a possibility, you know? During the meantime, the process continues and Mary's shamed and all these things that could have gone along with it. What about the shepherds that night? It's the one that a lot of times gets overlooked. You know, the shepherds are out there. We heard about it last week. And, you know, this Savior has been born. You'll find him down in Bethlehem in a feeding trough, wrapped in these tight cloths to keep him warm. And, man, go find him. What if the shepherds look at each other and go, whoa, if we take off, wolves may come and eat our sheep. Man, I'm afraid our boss is going to get ticked if we leave our post. I mean, this is where we're supposed to be right now. You know, I'm fearful. You know, I got kind of a gimp leg and it's a long walk down to Bethlehem. I'm really not sure I can make it. I mean, we can come up with excuse after excuse after excuse that we want to do, but it's really wrapped around this idea of fear. And see, if they would have been too fearful to go, the only one that would have missed out is them. And for a lot of us in the life that God has called us to live, the one that misses out is us. Because we're fearful of taking the next step. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let everyone prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. See, it's a song that we hear, but the reality is that joy and hope came. The reason I asked Rachel to sing the song a minute ago is because it so clearly articulates what God did. See, because of sin entering our life and being a part of the human nature that we deal with, God knew something had to take place to totally change the nature. It was not enough just to give us reassurances, but what he desired to do was to change us. So he allowed hope to come down in the form of a baby. A baby who would live a perfect life, who would offer himself as a sacrifice for you and for me. And because of that sacrifice and conquering both death and the grave and conquering sin so that sin no longer has the power to trap us. But by having a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can find freedom. The hope that comes in that gives us the opportunity to find relationship with God. And this is what God tells us. God tells us in that moment that we come into relationship with him, that he does not give us a spirit of fear. You see, he replaces that spirit of fear with this spirit of hope, with this spirit of possibility, with this spirit of trust. It says in that passage specifically, it says that he gives us the spirit of a sound mind. And what that means is a mind that is intelligent enough, a mind that has enough common sense to understand that if God can create our world and I am his, then God is strong enough, great enough, good enough to take care of my issues and my problems. And so I have no need to live in fear but I have need to live trusting him. I'm going to ask Nate to come up and play for just a second. And you know, as we look at this collision of the holy and the humble, this collision of fear and hope. See, hope conquers fear. And I don't mean hope that's just like this wish on a star kind of hope, but the hope that's found in Jesus, something that is so sure, something that is so true, something that is so positive that there is no way it could ever keep from happening. Hope conquers fear. So here's what I'd like for us to do this morning. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head and close your eyes where you're at. I've just got a couple questions for you this morning. I'm going to give you the opportunity just to talk with God as Nate plays. Question number one. What's your fear? I mean, all of us, if we are honest, have fears that we cling to at times. Might be fears about relationships, might be fears about money, might be fears about family, fears about work, school. I don't know what your fears are. What's your fear right now? Most of us, if we hear that question, there's something that just immediately snaps to mind. We just know it right away. Question number two. Does your fear give you pause in accomplishing the things that God wants for your life? Does your fear keep you from building new relationships so you can share the good news of Jesus Christ? Does your fear keep you from fully investing your talents in serving Him? Does your fear make you back away from opportunities instead of stepping out in faith, trusting God? And if they do, then we have to be honest enough with God to say, God, the reason I don't follow as soon as I should is because of fear. Question number three. Are you willing to hear the same words from God that Mary and Joseph and the shepherds heard from the angels? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not allow fear to triumph. Do not allow fear to control. Do not allow fear to make the difference in your life, because hope came down. Emmanuel, God with us, the hope of the world. God, I thank you for reminding us that hope triumphs over fear. That God, when fear and hope collide, there is only one left behind, and it is hope, not fear. God, I pray that we would leave this place willing to give you our fear, willing to embrace your hope. And God, I pray that from that, we would live lives that would make a difference where we live. God, I pray that people would see the fears falling away, because it's so uncommon not to live in fear. God, I pray that it would be a shining light for you. God, I know there's some of us here today that are still struggling with those fears. And God, we just may need to talk with somebody about that. God, if that's the case, I pray that you would lead them to someone to be able to talk, whether it's someone here today, where we're at, if it's a family member or a friend or someone back home. God, I don't care who it is, but God, I pray that you would lead us to have those conversations that we need to have, so that fear would no longer dominate, that fear would no longer give us pause, but that we would follow you in hope. God, thank you for the collision of the holy and the humble. Thank you for the collision of hope and fear, reminding us that hope wins out. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here today. We got some great stuff planned over the next couple weeks. I hope that you're still plugging in. Check the Journey Church Facebook page. If you're not on Facebook, make sure that you get an email address to Kyle Ponton. He sends out our weekly updates by email. It's a way for you to stay in touch with what's going on. We're going to have a great time just celebrating this Christmas season as a church family. And so thankful that you're a part of it today. Have a great week. We'll see you in Journey Groups throughout the week.